Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. December 1st, 2025. We are in officially the Christmas season now. We hope that everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. The weather was absolutely perfect. Everything went well over here at the Norman family. We really appreciate all what everyone did. I want to just remind folks and thank folks for buying those turkeys from the Kiwanis Dawn Busters. I think they ultimately sold them all out, which was a great thing because all that money goes back to our community. And as we move forward to the holiday season, we got a lot that we're going to be bringing your way. In fact, tomorrow we'll be at People's Health. Why is that important? Medicare Advantage programs, the open enrollment period is through December 7th. So we can get all of your questions answered tomorrow as we get close to the deadline here. And if you haven't taken care of that, you really want to jump on that and make sure you get it done. And on the third, one of my favorite shows of the year, the Manning Children's Hospital Radiothon will be broadcasting live from Children's Hospital over there on Henry Clay, Uptown. And we'll have an opportunity to talk to some of the most phenomenal physicians and healthcare individuals there at Children's Hospital. It is a blast to spend time there. It is a blast to just see the incredible kids, the brave kids, as they mill around the hospital and everything else. And, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to all of the family members that are facing their medical challenges of their children and the incredible work that's done there at Children's Hospital. So look forward to being there. And then on the 4th, Thursday, we'll be at JEDCO, the annual luncheon out at the Pontchartrain Center. We really look forward to this. It's our first time doing this and spending and sharing time with JEDCO at their annual luncheon. And we'll get to talk to a lot of the Jefferson Parish officials out there, business leaders and otherwise, as to what's happening in Jefferson Parish, the state of Jefferson Parish. And we look forward to that as well. Also wanted to send out a congratulations to John Summerall and a Tulane Greenwave. I had the opportunity to go to the game with some friends. Had a great time. Yulman Stadium is a great venue. If you've never been there, you definitely want to get there. And this Friday, they take on North Texas State as a result of their victory Saturday evening for the conference championship. And if they win Friday's game, they are in the college football playoffs. So that's going to be very interesting because John Summerall, as you well know by now, has been hired by the Florida Gators. And so, unfortunately, our coach, one that everybody really loved at Tulane, he had a couple of opportunities to meet him. He's a great guy. We wish he and his family the best. And the coach will be allowed to coach this weekend as well as if they are successful and they go to the college football playoffs, he'll be able to coach. And then LSU, we will be covering the press conference at 3:30 today. Lane Kiffin, the LSU Fighting Tigers, get their guy. Big news, a lot of disruption throughout the SEC. Kiffin goes to LSU from Ole Miss. Summerall's going to Florida, another SEC. Napier gets let go. Kentucky gets rid of their coach. Arkansas gets rid of theirs. They hire the Memphis coach, Ryan Silverfield. And Auburn, Coach Freeze, he's let go. I forgot who they are bringing in. But right there you have, what, five SEC teams that are making changes. Absolutely incredible. We'll visit with Guy Williams in the 12 o'clock hour, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We've got a lot to talk about. We'll be talking about health care, insurance updates, why costs are up, and what are the possible solutions to this, AI, and news from retailers on Black Friday, you know, as it relates to the state of the economy. And Nancy Landry, Jeff Nowak, joins us at 11:30. We'll talk about the Saints and the game against the Miami Dolphins. They are now 2-10 and officially out of the playoffs. We'll visit with Nancy Landry at 11:10. Louisiana Secretary of State closed party primaries headed your way. And we'll talk about the differences and how this will be handled. And we'll talk about whether or not you belong to another party other than Republican or Democrat, Libertarian, what that means for you. And if you have no party, and what that means for you and how you can meander through this closed party primary system that is set up for certain offices only in the state of Louisiana. It doesn't apply to all offices. And then we'll visit with Colin Sims at 10:30. It seems as though there are projected budget cuts of as much as 30% in the criminal justice system in St. Tammany, saying that there's just not enough money there. Where do they go? And the future is pretty bleak as well, because they're saying in 2027 it could be worse than what is proposed for 2026. And Colin Sims, the DA, has some thoughts about that. And we have some thoughts about what's going on in the city. We had the opportunity, and I want to thank Mayor-elect Helena Moreno and Joe Geruso for sitting down with me for an hour and talking about the budget as proposed. And I covered this a couple of times during the week last week, because I think it is an important issue. It's a defining moment here in the city of New Orleans. And basically what we've learned is that we're looking at about $150 million or so in cuts. We're looking at one day a week furlough for 700 non-public service, non-essential city workers. We're talking about cuts in travel. We're talking about selling some real estate. It costs money to maintain this stuff. They have a bunch of properties that they haven't been using. The mayor-elect said they also have too many cars. They got too many people in certain positions, so they're looking to cut there. Obviously, you've heard about the overtime. That's having to be managed. And there's some other things that they're setting about to do to try and right the ship, to get the budget in its proper place. Obviously, the document that was presented was a lot of work went into it, a lot of input from a lot of different professionals, and they were able to identify some funds of what they wanted to do and how they were going to go about changing the last budget that was proposed by the mayor, LaToya Cantrell. Well, this morning at 9:30, the REC, the Revenue Estimating Conference, had a meeting where they could have incorporated these changes to the budget that will be made by the incoming mayor. And it just would have been a really nice thing to see happen, a government set up in such a way that it actually operates appropriately, kind of like a business. You know, you go about this, you get the appropriate input, you do certain things. They had been working with the Cantrell administration, hoping that Revenue Estimating Conference would adopt the changes that they've made to the budget. So, you know, when the mayor-elect takes office on January 12th, there's not this necessity to go into session with the council in order to make all the necessary changes the first day to avoid having to make additional cuts and to implement what Mayor Cantrell has brought forward as an obligation that she has, and it is an obligation, so it's not a criticism. I would criticize the manner in which she was going about executing the difficulties that we find ourselves in the solutions that, well, what she would call solutions, what I would say probably makes it even worse. But it seems as though the mayor didn't want to bring it up at the revenue estimating conference this morning, committee this morning. So we don't have that opportunity of this kind of seamless, real organized, ordered, and structured transition that we kind of all hope for. And I know that there are many people within the Cantrell administration that are disappointed by this. They're there for the right reasons, trying to do the right thing. Having worked with the transition moving forward, and then LaToya walks into the room, and the whole thing goes astray. You know, and it's not like this date was a secret date. Everybody's known about it. Everybody's tried to work hard. There's always last minute modifications, going back and forth, making sure that everything gets squared up, the whole nine yards. It's not always easy to execute when you have an incoming administration and an outgoing administration. But one would think, right, that after all that is going on right now, and I've said this a million times as it relates to Mayor Cantrell, that one of the legacy items that she has to salvage for herself is to do the appropriate thing in the transition in moving from the end of her administration to the beginning of the next. And I know New Orleans voters would be most appreciative of that. I also know that Helena Moreno would give her credit for it, if that's what she did. I'm pretty certain of that, because that's her style. She's done it dozens, if not hundreds of times before. She doesn't have to be the center of the universe and the center of attention. But these opportunities keep slipping through these grimy little hands of LaToya Cantrell, where she just can't see herself clear to rise above to do the right thing for her citizens. Her citizens. She's still the leader of the city. And the best way to exhibit that is to be completely and totally cooperative with who the city decided would be the next leader. Why? How could that be so difficult that we can't look beyond ourselves? We are not the center of the universe, and understand that the beneficiary of this is not the Moreno administration. It is the city of New Orleans. How many times did she tell us that she loved us? She loved everybody. She loved the city. She'd go to the nth degree for the city. But yet every time we have these small little opportunities to show that actions speak louder than words, she does exactly the opposite. So here we are. We've adopted a budget that we know, I'm sure they're about to adopt it if they haven't already. It's 10:20. I think they were starting at 10 o'clock. We're going to adopt a budget that we know actually is not what the budget's going to be, because we just can't seem to align, right? Doesn't it just seem like to you that that's a lot of wasted energy, right? Doesn't it just seem like to you that this is not how this should work? And doesn't it seem to you to be childish? Because it does to me. And it's really a shame that this place that we call home, that we just can't get our it together because we want to play these petty little games for petty reasons, for, you know, whatever. And, you know, it's just another example of not being credible, not being a credible leader, not exhibiting emotional intelligence, thinking emotionally as opposed to rationally about what's in the best interests of the city. I get it. You know, you're coming to the end of your term. There are things that go on, there are a lot of emotions, whether, you know, you're not able to run for re-election, you're term limited out, or you voluntarily leave or whatever. It's emotional. But you got to stand up and be the adult in the room, right? Life goes on, things go on, the city has to go on, the city has a lot of different challenges. Yes, there's a lot of criticism pointed your way, but pull your big girl pants on and act like an adult. We have another, 43 days here, somewhere around there, January 12th. Can we just do it for the next 40-some days? Stop trying to issue contracts and bind the next administration. Stop trying to pick and choose vendors of your preference that you want to pay. That's not in the best interest of the city. Why would you want to do things that way? Why are you trying to handcuff the next administration? Why do you think that's in the best interest of everyone in the city as opposed to your preferred preferences and your whoever are your friends or otherwise? I don't know what's motivating you, but it's not the best interest of the city. How hard can this be? But this is a great example, folks, of the obligation that you have as voters. We voted these people in. We put them right where they are. And they proved to us over and over and over again that they couldn't rise to the level, the bar that was set by the voters, and yet we put them back. Again, in the hopes that it was going to get any better. Does anybody believe that the second term got better than the first? Because I don't. Because here we are facing an historic deficit. Here we are where we're going to have to provide extraordinary measures in order to right the ship. And here we are at truly a defining moment. There are a lot of economic headwinds. There's some tailwinds, but predominantly headwinds right now going back and forth, right? Out migration of the city has been greater than in migration. Thankfully, that delta is closing. Things are beginning to improve. We need to create momentum. We need a jump start. The mayor has had the last 60, the upcoming 40 some odd days, and up, you know, about 20 or 30 days ago to really set a tone for this city to hand the ball off, to be the quarterback, to execute the play through the transition, to rise above the rhetoric, to rise above the emotion, to rise above the fear that she has as she's facing federal charges, to rise above all of that and show everyone that she can be a credible, well-reasoned, doing things for the right reasons type of individual. But no, again, we decide when we reach that fork in the road to take the wrong path yet again. And I guess I'll sum it up this way. We probably shouldn't be surprised. We'll be right back with Colin Sims, the DA of St. Tammany and Washington Parishes, talking about budget cuts for criminal justice players in for the upcoming year. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Colin Sims, the district attorney for St. Tammany and Washington Parishes, otherwise known as the 22nd Judicial District. Colin, welcome to the show.
How are you doing?
I think I'm doing better than you, Colin, as you face a 30% cut in your budget for 2026, and 2027 has a proposed 50% cut in the budget. I am not sure how this is going to work or play out.
Not very well. You know, we've sat in a meeting, I think, last year, and I was told, hey, you're going to get a 55% cut. We've looked everywhere for the money, and then they found the money, and we staved that off for a year. We at least met earlier this year. I was able to see a presentation and conclude that they really have run out of most of the money. They've staved off what would have been a 55% cut beginning in January of 26 by using still some one-time monies, but it'll be a 30% cut for the DA's offices, criminal division, and parish funding. The judiciary, and the jail.
So I was a firm believer, you've heard me say this, I always thought our arrest at the JPSO were only as good as the district attorney's prosecution of the individuals that we arrested. And when you have one leg of the stool that's going to be significantly impacted, that doesn't lead to good positive outcomes at all. In fact, you know, I got to imagine that you're going to have to be a lot more selective as it relates to the cases that you're willing to prosecute, because there's just not enough time, not enough money, and not enough bodies to do so.
Well, I'm going to run it as hard as we can for as long as we can. I'm not planning to make any of those concessions now, but I can tell you. So, I mean, look, we've understaffed the office by between 9 and 14 positions on purpose. I mean, the current budget that we have is a good budget for 2025. And I actually saved a chunk of that money waiting for this to occur. So I will live off a small reserve balance that we've built up, but that lasts for so long. And then that 55% cut really is kind of the nail in the coffin for not just me. And you talk about the three legs. They're cutting two of the three legs, the judiciary, us. All that's left is arrests. And if you're arresting people, for what purpose? If the DA can't charge appropriately and the court system can't bring those cases to a head, to a conclusion, then you end up with a broken backlog system. And you're correct. At some point in time, you have to get more selective. And that's not something that I've ever thought I'd be saying as the DA in this parish.
Well, and I know you probably don't want to say it, but I will. I mean, we have glaring examples of the outcome of that not too far away from you guys. And
sure,
it takes a lot of years to turn it around. And when you misstep for a couple of years like that, you know, it's easy to lose public confidence right away. People get angry, and I'm not sure where everyone thinks that this where this goes. But the moment in time that the criminal justice system is impacted to the extent that it's about to in St. Tammany, there will be a hue and cry in the streets. There's no doubt about it.
Well, and there needs to be one now. And I think the toughest thing has been to really educate the people to understand, like, okay, the DA's office and the judges do not have dedicated funding. They are 100% dependent on parish government to manage a general fund of money that currently produces about $15.6 million annually from the alimony tax and other revenue streams. It's got $15.6 million. Well, that $15.6 million has got to pay for way more than what it has coming in. And based upon the current level of funding, it's about $18 million annually deficient with what comes into the general fund. You have these mandated state obligations to which the judiciary, the DA, the jail, then the coroner's office runs out of money in 2027 as well. They lost their funding stream. And so all of that will then be on the back, along with maintaining the Justice Center on this general fund that is deficient by $18 million annually. And so the 30% cuts start now, and then it's 55%. And we're talking about amount of money, Noah, that from all sources, you know, I'm the DA of St. Tammany and Washington Parish. Washington Parish pays its bills. They're one of the poorest parishes in the state of Louisiana, they pay their bills. And St. Tammany is one of the more affluent, and we have this archaic tax structure that has taxed itself into a corner. And the parish government has not done a good job on educating the public, clearly, that the monies available do not exist. And I understand the confusion. You look around here, and it's all these things being built. I quote my uncle. He told me one day, he's like, nephew, we got jogging trails to nowhere around here. But having to really educate the public about these dedicated funds and how much money is going into each one of these little silos that cannot be legally touched is very difficult to educate the public on. It cannot be done in a mailer or a 15-second soundbite. But what the St. Tammany Parish citizens have said is, we don't want to pay more money in taxes. And to be honest, they shouldn't have to. The money is locked away in areas, all of which is not needed in where it's being locked away. And there's got to be a reshuffling of this deck at some point in time.
So I watched a committee meeting on YouTube yesterday afternoon where you made a presentation, and there was a long discussion about a presentation made about mosquito control in St. Tammany and the amount of money that they actually have dedicated to them and the manner in which they spend their money. And what was interesting to me is that the wages and the benefits package of the mosquito control district was far greater and better than any other parish employee in St. Tammany Parish, and that struck me as odd. Why would they allow a special district to have a much more favored wage and benefit schedule than any other public employee that the parish has? Because it is a parish agency, is it not? It's a special district of the parish.
It's a parish agency and parish entity, but there's a special piece of legislation that someone went and got a long time ago that I think it's one of two in the state. So the state says you can create a mosquito abatement district, right? And so they create one by ordinance. You don't have to have one. And then someone went and got special legislation that basically states that they operate with financial independence and autonomy. And so the parish council has zero annual oversight of what they elect to spend that almost $10 million budget on that's been in place up until now. And so you've got public information officer making compensation package of 130 grand a year, more than the parish government. When you have, bottom line, when you look at it, St. Tammany Mosquito Abatement District spends $3 million more than any other parish in the state of Louisiana, than the next closest comparable, twice as much to the next closest comparable in salaries and benefits. And so someone has never asked, I wonder why that is. And that kind of gets to be the problem in the parish, is that you're spending an inordinate amount of money on something like that. And again, look, this is not a knock on their service or what they do. It's not the mosquito abatement director's job to be the fiscal quarterback of St. Tammany Parish. But the problem I have is being asked to go support a tax or some other revenue stream, and you haven't really assessed something like that. And it's not my job to do that, but I did it in partnership with them and others and private business owners that are some real experts to be able to show this is part of the problem. This is the stranglehold, because people are asked to have a certain threshold tolerance for taxes. And if you're going to spend $10 million on this and not do a deep dive to see if it's really needed, then you're not going to be able to go and make the ask for things that is truly the cornerstone bedrock that makes this parish the parish that it is. And that is a major problem.
And you brought up a good point. I couldn't agree more. So if you look at the prioritization and you do it appropriately, and let's just pick out one simple line item. How easy is it to outsource testing in the mosquito abatement world as opposed to the DNA world, right? The reality is it's a lot easier in the mosquito abatement world. It's a lot cheaper in the mosquito abatement world. It doesn't take nearly the amount of infrastructure in the mosquito abatement world as it does in the DNA world for law enforcement and criminal prosecutions. But yet they're about to build a new lab there as opposed to just continuing to outsource that. And the turnaround and the ability to do so is there. It's alive. It's well. There's not a big problem. That's the issue there, is that we're not bringing the pieces and parts and prioritizing where the spend's going to be. So what's at risk for you guys? And in your presentation, you said, well, one of the things that's probably going to get cut is DNA. Well, that's the beginning of the end. In many respects.
He lost his funding. And so the DNA lab that is a very good DNA lab that we have here. We've had the luxury of having it for quite some time. You know, we have a lot of major sex cases in this parish that depend upon that. I don't understand the lack of, and again, I think it's the lack of really knowing that it's happening and that it's coming. But look, no, let's be honest, the coroner's office was a similar problem in St. Tammany. They had amassed $16 million worth of a reserve balance over there. And then, you know, other things happened. That office became unpopular. People were upset about the lack of, I think, fiscal oversight and the fact that they had $16 million of their taxpayer dollars parked, and they canceled the funding. So that runs out of money in 2027. We've got an overfunded. Presently, it's there. I think after this report came out, they've elected to roll down their millage to the tune of about $2 million a year now, once we had to go look. But why did we have to go look at this? Why is it structured this way? Why is no one looking? And I was very happy that a lot of the members of the council partnered with us in the business community. And to your point, why would you go invest $8 million in an expansion of a facility to largely build out a laboratory, have $500,000 devoted to research and lab personnel, okay? And then every single test kit you run on a mosquito costs you twice as much money, and you're replacing all of that investment you used to do at LSU for $37,000 a year. So $37,000 a year, we said, no, we don't want to do that. $8 million expansion, $500,000 devoted to laboratory and testing, And every single test kit cost us twice as much by the test kit alone, not to mention the facility or the labor. That's not included. Just the test kit, twice as much money. Nobody in business would do that. And if you're a taxpayer trusting people with your money, you're saying, why would I listen to these guys? Why would I give anyone any more of my money? It's being spent this way. It makes no sense at all. And it's a lack of oversight in a broken tax structure system.
And not a history or a record of being displeased with the level or quality of service that the LSU system was providing for testing of mosquitoes, right?
No, the LSU personnel advised them not to do it. The only stated reason to go invest all this money and spend all this money doing this was because of it. They stated the two-day turnaround time is not acceptable. And we have to, because West Nile will spread like the zombie apocalypse over here. And so we must do this. This is a public emergency crisis of some kind. It's nonsense. LSU also confirmed that they can expedite testing. They've not been asked. I think the gentleman had mentioned that one time in 2013, maybe they asked and couldn't do it. Well, should we have checked again before we invested all this money? I mean, it's, I know that they can do it same day turnaround.
So we,
but they've never been asked.
We have just a few minutes, Colin. I wanted to get to this. So what's the remedial action that is going to be, take place? Is the St. Tammany Parish Council going to do anything about it?
I mean, we'll find out here. There's a meeting Thursday night. You'll find out whether or not will an actual substantive report that highlights, you know, $14 million worth of spending over the last couple of years, double the salaries and benefits than any other program, $3 million more than anybody in the state, a benefits package that is 100% paid for by the state for family medical with zero employee contribution, salaries that are larger than any other entity here in the parish. Is that enough information to say, hey guys, we need to get control of this and do something different? The people that we had supervising this, it clearly hasn't gone well. Let's make a change. Will they make a change? I have no idea. But the millage needs to be lowered permanently. They need to get control of the people making the decisions over there. And we need to set an example in this parish that we're going to do our homework. We're going to lower these millages and taxes first before we try to have a conversation with you about what we actually need in this parish. You got to do the first thing. You got to be fiscally responsible. You got to lower these millages. And then you have a conversation with the people about what we need. And I hope we conclude that we need our DNA lab. I hope that we conclude that we need a functioning judiciary. And I hope that we conclude, no, we don't want to have a DA's office that has less than three times the funding of our partners and we're the fourth largest judicial district in the state. We can't have that.
No, you can't. And hopefully y'all get to there, because I can tell you the outcome is ugly. Nobody's going to like it, for sure.
Now,
Colin Sims.
I love this place, Noel, and I appreciate the time.
Thank you, sir. Colin Sims, the district attorney for St. Tammany and Washington Parishes. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, stay with us. I don't know, folks, that's a very interesting conversation that's going on there when you're looking at budget cuts in the 30% range, moving to as much as 50 to 55% in 2027. It is cause for concern. Obviously, it requires a shock and awe response at this point in time because you can't wait until it's on top of you because it's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. Cost of goods, are up. Whether inflation is at 2%, 3%, or 4%, it doesn't matter. At 2%, it's going up 2%. So your costs are going up every year, and you're looking at these cuts that are proposed here. It has to. It begs of a reevaluation of how the pie is cut up. The pie is only so big. And obviously, the voters in St. Tammany Parish have made their wishes known. There is not a capacity for an increase in taxes. Not right now. It's not going to happen. There are a number of different things that are charging more money right now that are out there proposing increases. And guess what's happening almost in every case that's out there? Just go on social media. People are pushing back. They're basically saying you're nuts. This can't happen. We're not willing to do it. Whether it's football games, basketball games, whether it's, any other type of special events, destinations within the city, the list goes on and on. I don't need to point anybody out individually, but the public's pushing back and saying, okay, whatever, raise it. We're not renewing. And you get into the death spiral and you don't come out. So it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen Thursday on the North Shore. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Nancy Landry, the Louisiana Secretary of State, and we'll talk about how you go about voting with closed party primaries. So stay with us. We have incredible information for you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.